Blog Talk Radio.
DMX in the DMV, that can only mean one thing on a Saturday morning, and that is that the Extra Points Radio Show is live and on the air. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and as always, the Extra Point is up, and it is good. A good week it was. Wow, busy, busy week in the business of sports. You got a lot going on, a lot going on. So we got a full hour today to get right to it. And so why don't we just first of all talk about today's show and who our guest is, because I'm really, really excited about today's guest. Really excited. Why? Because it's the Extra Points Radio Show listener. That's right. You guys are a fan. It's your show. You'll guide the ship today. And if you don't call in, then I'll just keep talking, which is all good with me. So today is Listener Call-In Saturday, and we want to hear from you. We see we already got callers calling in. It looks like New York is always representing. Appreciate you, New York. We'll make sure we get you on the air later in the show. We got a ton to talk about, though. Today's topic, for those of you that are calling in, and, of course, you can also reach us on Twitter. So if you're shy and just don't want to say it on the air, then you can reach us on Twitter at Extra Points LLC. Whew. NFL offseason free agency, which really that chatter hasn't really started up yet. Free agency is about a month out, so you know you got to wait and see what happens with the franchise tag, which is this week coming up or next week, March 1st. So you got to sort through this franchise tag deal. Then you've got the combine. So already NFL Network pumping that combine. So here are the exercises I look at. Obviously, everybody looks at the 40, but to me, there's something called football speed, football fast. So the 40 is just running in a straight line. So I don't really. I put more on the bench press. But it's funny. I was watching a documentary last night. Stephen Paya, who played for the Redskins last year, got cut by the Redskins last year, but was drafted like I think third or fourth round by the Kansas City Chiefs. Signed a big free agent deal with the Redskins. He actually holds the record for bench press at a combine at 49 reps of 225 pounds. So you're thinking 49 reps at 225 pounds, this guy is going to be a stud NFL player. Well, no, he's on his third team. He's making the league minimum, and he probably won't make it next season. So even my favorite exercise isn't a given. Once you got the combine, you go to the NFL draft. So the combine kind of shuffled the draft order. So right now there's some mock drafts out there. Everybody's using that. Everybody's using their big board. But once the combine, all those scores hit, there'll be some drug tests. There'll be some psychological tests, that sort of thing. Money, salary cap hits, all that. You put it in a big bucket, stir it all up. That's really how you figure out who you're going to draft. So then there's free agency. So free agency, you're really looking for that one or two, pieces that you can't wait for a guy to develop. You need an established star right now to come in. So an example of that would be Josh Norman last year. The Redskins, they felt like they needed a corner right now. And so they overpaid Josh Norman to come in and do it after Carolina cut him. So, things happen in free agency that really change rosters. Then you get to mini camp. So I can tell you there's a lot to talk about before you even get to the regular season. So it is listener call-in Saturday. Call in to 215-383-3872. 215-383-3872. And, of course, you can reach us on Twitter, LLC. Have your extra point ready. You know, challenge me. It's your turn to be the general manager. So I'm listening to all things. So, of course, we'll be talking some Redskins today as well. They're the local team. They're my favorite team. And, you know, they're dramatic. They're like a reality show. I mean, now they're coming with this whole, we're taking the Patriots way and we're not going to talk about who we're going to pick. Okay, right. I think there's some smoke to that fire, but we'll see what happens on that one. So, yeah, why don't we just dive right into our pay attention topic, because we got a couple things that we could talk about. So why don't we just press the button. With so much going on in the NFL offseason, let us not forget in our pay attention topic some other under-the-radar events that are going on. First of all, we could talk about the NBA All-Star Game. But if I did that, I would lose all the people who are listening right now, just like the NBA lost me when I turned the channel and watched Sanford and Son rerun. That NBA All-Star Game was a bore. I mean, it's no defense, really no competitive edge. It was like being at a pickup game, just at any outdoor court. I don't know what they can do to make this game better. You know, they could throw money on it, I guess. I don't know. I think what they should do is, I know a few years ago, the Pro Bowl in football said, hey, the winner of the Pro Bowl will host, you know, the Super Bowl or whatever it was. And so maybe they could do something like that with a competitive edge, but I don't know. But anyway, that won't be our PAT today. Now, we could talk about bringing the Magic back to L.A. That's right, the Magic, Urban Magic Johnson, going to come back, take over the team. Mitch Kupchak was relieved of his duties. Mitch Kupchak, you know, little known history, the last time the Washington Bullets won the championship, Mitch Kupchak was on that team. He's been an outstanding executive over the years. He's done a great job with the Lakers through the Kobe years, but the Lakers they just gotta blow it up, start all over again. They got the right guy to do it. Magic's a businessman first, but he still has an eye for talent. I've been reading some articles that he put some really great people around him. Salary cap gurus, talent gurus, Magic will get that done. So I give them 4 years, and they'll be back in championship form. So kudos to Magic, but that will not be our pay attention topic. I don't know if we've ever had an NBA story be the pay attention topic. So we could use Boogie Cousins in the big trade. The Pelicans, big deal, getting out of Sacramento. I don't know what's going on at Sactown. I know when the Maloof brothers were the owners. It was a much better organization, but now it's just kind of a circus. So Boogie Cousins wanted out. I don't know. You hear things about his attitude and his work ethic. I don't know. I don't follow the game that closely. But I do know this. He's really, really good, and he's really, really tall, and they're going to make New Orleans better. So so we could use that as a pay attention topic, but nah. I think everybody knows what the pay attention topic is going to be. You got it. Kirk Daniel Cousins and the Washington Redskins. So let's dive right into this thing, because stuff's brewing by the minute. So for every minute that they don't sign him to a long-term deal, this gets more and more, depending on where you sit, more and more concerning, I guess. I've always had this stance since the season ended. I said, hey, Colt McCoy is the quarterback. And here's why. Because I still believe that Colt McCoy, who was actually drafted higher, people forget that. Colt McCoy was a higher draft pick. Colt McCoy was up for the Heisman Trophy. So, and if you look at the college numbers, Colt McCoy was a better quarterback. He ran a different style offense, but a better quarterback. And I felt like in his pro career, Colt McCoy is Kirk Cousins. They're backup players. They are going to throw for a ton of yards. They can win you a couple games in a row. You know, they can manage games, give them a good running game and a good defense, and they can do some things. But, you know, Kurt has no playoff win. Now, if they sign him, if they franchise tag him, which they got to make that decision on March 1st, if they franchise him, then Kirk Cousins will make, he made $20 million last year. He'll make another $24 this year. That's $44 million in 2 years. Now, here's the tricky part. Next year, 2018, The quarterback position, that franchise tag, gets a percentage increase of 44%, which means now that a quarterback, the top five quarterbacks in the league, their salaries will balloon up to $34 million. So Kirk Cousins wants to get part of that $34 million, which is why he wants a long-term deal. So, you know, here's my thing. Why should the Redskins pay him? Why? He's still a fourth-round draft pick, right? He's not Tom Brady, who was a sixth-round pick, but he's Tom Brady. He's a fourth-round pick. He was a backup. He was third string. He was behind Colt McCoy. People forget that. When Roberts got healthy, RG3, when he got healthy, the Skins went right back with RG3. They made Colt the backup, and they made Kirk the third stringer because he threw so many picks. So I'm just trying to figure out, why are we trying to reward this guy with top five money? I mean, can you reasonably say that he should be paid in the same neighborhood as Tom Brady, Drew Brees? I mean, that's crazy. So I don't know why we should pay him, and he hasn't won. He hasn't won. They won the NFC East two years ago. Last year, they did not even make the playoffs. So the only home game he's had, playoff game he had, was at home against Aaron Rodgers, and we saw the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, right? So now, here's the other side of the coin. Why should Kirk Cousins stay here? I don't get it. I would just leave now. I would just tell them, look, I guess he can't, because if he says, I'm not going to sign a franchise deal, then he's giving up $24 million. And quite honestly, I don't know if anyone else would give him $24 million. So I guess he's playing it cool, just not going to say anything. He's got his own coach over in San Francisco, in Kyle Shanahan, who really has helped him tutor along. They've got a decent running game. Their defense is terrible, but the whole team's terrible. So he can only go up. So they won two games last year. If Kirk Daniel Cousins has them win six games, then he's looking like, you know, the second coming. So maybe he doesn't go out there. Maybe he wants to be a little closer to a playoff. I don't get it. But this long-term deal, you know, really I think what the guy's looking for is $100 million. I think that's what he's looking for. He's looking for his 20 from last year, his 24, and then another 50. I think he's satisfied then. At that point, he's satisfied. But who's going to give him $100 million? Now, there is something called trading tag. So the Skins could franchise tag him, okay, franchise tag, and then trade him to San Francisco. Now, if I'm the Skins, San Francisco's got something that's very, very attractive. You know what that is? They got the second pick overall in the draft. So now you got to look in the draft and see, well, what do you need? And is it someone out there worth giving up your starting quarterback for? If you look at the mock drafts right now, the Skins are all over the place. They really need defensive help. They need to spend money on defense. But right now, I looked at 10 mock drafts. Seven of them got the Skins picking a left guard from Wisconsin. Now, I get it. You go to the Big Ten to get, you know, big uglies, right? You get big guys go and block for you and that sort of thing. But I got to tell you, they need help on defense so bad, but I don't think there's a defensive player out there. Now, do you want to just go get the best athlete? Do you go get Jabril Peppers from Michigan? I don't know. For Kirk Cousins? I don't know about that. So maybe now what the Redskins should do is go, hey, give me your second overall pick, and then give me maybe a fourth rounder. Now get two picks. So what does that do for the Skins? That gives them two first-round picks, which is their pick at number 17, San Francisco's pick at number 2. And then they can get a later-round pick, which maybe they could use in a trade or this, that, and the other, to get an offensive lineman where they don't have to pay so much money, because they're going to pay a lot of money for the Wisconsin kid, a lot of money. And they need to put that money on defense. So, hey, I'm not really sure where this thing's going to end up, but I'm sticking to my guns. Colt McCoy is going to be the starting quarterback for the Redskins next year. That's just me. I think that's option one. Option two is they're going to go ahead and swallow it and pay him this $24 million. But I think you're going to have an upset player. I don't think that, you know, he's going to be in a tough spot, because on one hand, he's got to still perform. Kirk Cousins, I'm talking about. He'll have to still perform because he'll be a free agent the next year. There is no franchise tag. You can only do it twice. So he'll have to still keep a high level. Now, if they don't put any money on defense, Once again, he'll be without playoffs another year. Who's going to pay him now as a free agent? Not a lot of teams. They're not going to pay him $34 million. That's for sure. So for Cousins, it's cash in now or never. So I ain't mad at him. He's just not that good. He's really not that good. So, and I like him. Don't get me wrong. I like him. Love the red. He's not that good. So anyway, hey, that's the tone and tenor of the show today. We want callers calling in and talking NFL offseason. I see we got my man Kingsley from New York. Kingsley, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to have you kick us off. And, Kingsley, I got a bone to pick with you on the Giants because they got a guy. They got a guy named JPP, and JPP is one of the top free agents. I say the Giants let that guy go. One-armed bandit, let this guy go. Let him go to free agency. JPP, I dare you to go to free agency, son. I dare you. So anyway, hey, we're going to play some Chuck, and we'll come right back. Kingsley in New York, you'll be on the air in about 1 minute. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Chucky B, always sounding good. So, hey, we are talking NFL season today. That's all we got today. And, of course, we'll do our basketball roundup with Super Ref Craig Muckle in the second hour of the show. But we're going to go to NYC. I think we got our man Kingsley out there. Kingsley, are you there? Is that Kingsley out there in the NYC?
Yeah.
Kingsley, how you doing this morning? Good. How you doing, man?
Great.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on with the Giants in the NFL offseason, man? Are they gonna fix this thing? I see they cut Victor Cruz, they cut Rashad Jennings, and I think they're gonna cut JPP. What's going on?
We're looking at Peterson.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. He said Jeez, he got an interest
in the Giants. How they can't afford him? How are they going to do that?
That's why we cut what's his name, Victor Cruz, and other players.
And Rashad Jennings.
Yeah.
What about Jason Pierre-Paul? Do they cut him?
We already gave him the tag already, franchise tag already.
Oh, they tagged
him? Got that already. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, good.
It's still February.
Kingsley, it ain't early, man. March 1st. It ain't early.
Yeah, but, you know, we got time to wiggle in the deal. Everything's not over yet. It's not. It's a whole 2 months.
What do you think they're going to do with in the draft? I think they got I heard that they're going to draft a quarterback and get ready to replace Eli. Is that true?
No. We're trying to give him like two to three more years.
What? That's 2 to 3 more years?
Why would he went to the playoffs.
He's getting up there, though. He's getting up there in age. You can't see that?
We went to the playoffs. We lost in Green Bay. Green Bay is a great team. lost by Green Bay. Yeah, like we didn't make the playoff. It was
Tom Carter. I think there's some quarterbacks out there in the draft that they could find in late rounds that they can easily kind of weed out Eli. Not next year, but maybe the year after.
Listen, I'm telling you, who could use it? The Redskins, because Kirk Cousins, he's not cutting it.
Whoa, wait a minute, Kingsley, wait a minute. Are you telling me that you're not a Kirk Cousins guy? Oh, okay. So do you think the Skins should sign him?
Yes.
Do you?
Y'all
for 1 year?
Y'all making to the playoff. Y'all go to the playoff.
Well, so should we go with Colt McCoy?
I don't care who y'all go with.
Because you're all
rivalry.
About the Giants.
I'm all with the Giants.
You're all with the Giants. Well,
yeah,
I tell you
We made it to the playoffs. We went to the playoffs this year.
No, you guys did make it to the playoffs and got destroyed in the playoffs. Do you forget that part?
What, Green Bay? We beat Green Bay.
Yeah,
how many times
Green
in
Bay.
Playoffs?
Well, wait a minute now. How many games were y'all ahead of the Redskins? How many games were you guys ahead of the Redskins to make it to the playoffs? One game. Go check the standings. You're one game ahead. You make it like y'all are NFC East champions. You squeaked in the wild card.
Yeah, just like when we beat the Patriots. We beat them by one game for the whole year.
Oh, my God. Are you bringing that up
again?
When was that, 2004? When was that? I don't even remember that. When did y'all beat New England?
2012 and 11. I mean, the 7. Two times.
Oh, man.
We're the only team in the Super Bowl. We're the only team that beat New England in the Super Bowl twice, not once. What, twice?
Twice.
The only team.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Can't nobody just beat New England?
But you know what? The NFL stands for not for long, and it's also a what have you done for me lately league. And quite honestly, the Giants haven't done anything for me lately.
Really.
Right, big deal. You were a wild card team. The Redskins went to the playoffs 2 years ago. They got cooked at home by Green Bay. Big deal. Who lost the Super Bowl this year? Quickly.
Atlanta.
Right. Nobody remembers. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you're talking about stuff from 3 years ago. Nobody care about that. What y'all need to do is cut JPP. You need to cut him. Cut that one-armed bandit. And if you can get Adrian Peterson, that would be great. But I don't think he's going to come there.
He said it openly. He said, listen, I wouldn't mind re-signing in Minnesota, but if I shall go somewhere else, I want to go to New York.
Right.
That's what he said.
Well, we'll see how that works out, Kingsley. I just don't see them, you know, paying him that kind of money for a one-armed guy. I mean, you guys got other guys that can rush the passer. I thought you did pretty well. I thought the defense was actually pretty good with Landon Collins there. I mean, that's your defense right there. So we'll see what happens. So you think that the Redskins will sign Kirk Cousins, and you're happy about that because he doesn't make the playoffs. Is that what I'm understanding?
I don't really care about the Redskins, the Cowboys, or the Eagles. I don't really care about them.
I get it. You're all Giants.
We made the playoffs, and we want to build on it, and we want to keep on. Because we got the most Super Bowl in this division.
Right. No, I get it. I get it, Kingsley. I got to take another caller.
Right.
But, hey, you're a loyal listener, and we appreciate you. And you watch what I said, though. They're going to cut JPP. You remember that. And then you're going to be asking me during the season, where's our pass rush? Watch. You watch. And they won't get Adrian Peterson. That ain't happening. Ain't happening. Thanks, Kingsley from New York. Man, that guy's good, man. He's fun, too. He loves his Giants. He absolutely loves his Giants. I think he might be on to something, though, with that Adrian Peterson thing. You know, if they freed up some cap space, Cruz, Jennings, I mean, they really, they have no back. Jennings wasn't a back either. although he did go to Pitt for a year, Halo Pitt, but he's not a back. He's not an NFL back. I just don't know why Adrian Peterson would go there. You know, I think the Giants play in a really tough division with the Skins, and the Eagles are going to be up and coming, and, of course, the Cowboys are going to be very good again next year. So he's running out of time. So he needs to go somewhere where it's not as hard to make the playoffs, you know, and I'm not sure if the NFC East is that place. Not only that, but the NFC East is known for really violent football, right? I mean, guys hit. And so, you know, he's got a lot of miles on his body already. I just don't think that he wants to go through those bumps and bruises. So, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take another shorter break. And come back with another caller and continue the conversation. NFL offseat on the Extra Points Radio Show. All right, Chuck just keeps it going and going and going and going. So, hey, we want to get back into this conversation around NFL offseason. And where we want to take it now is free agency a little bit because that's coming up. It's right around the corner. When you look at, you know, who are the top unrestricted free agents, that means a guy can go anywhere, right? He could go to any team. Le'Veon Bell's number one. Now, Le'Veon Bell, Steelers running back, I mean, totally changed the game last year. They were done. They weren't even going to make the playoffs. And they started handing the ball to him and throwing the ball to Antonio Brown. And next thing you knew, the Steelers were winning the division, and then they got to the conference championship. Now, here's the issue with Le'Veon. Le'Veon Bell's had a couple bumps along the way, shall we say. So he's been suspended more than once for substance abuse. He has had two major surgeries. One was an Achilles. So for a running back, that's a lot of baggage. So I just don't know how much he's going to garner in free agency. I mean, you can get a back anywhere, you know. So I think the Steelers will re-sign him. I think they'll pay him well, but I don't think other teams are going to come a-hunting for him. I really don't. Another guy that's out there is going to be Eric Berry, Kansas City Chiefs safety. You know, probably top five safety. You know, here's a guy that, you know, beat cancer, big locker room guy. He's at the prime of his career, but I still believe, and this is the nature of the business, I still believe owners are going to be a little apprehensive about signing Eric Berry due to health reasons. So I think the Chiefs, I think he stays put with Kansas City, and they'll sign him, pay him well, but I think it stops there. Another one, Alshon Jeffrey, huge receiver for the Bears. Now, here's the problem with Alshon. He doesn't have a quarterback. So I think that I think on March 9th when free agency comes about, he's out of there. So I think he's going to be willing to take lower money, lesser money. Now, he's had some injuries. He had a suspension last year. He missed 4 games last year. But he's definitely a number one receiver in the NFL. He just needs a quarterback. And I can't see him staying in Chicago. Now, Chicago drafts a quarterback. Maybe he waits for the quarterback to develop. I don't know. But I think Alshon Jeffrey, you could get him for cheap right now. I do, because he just wants out of there. We got another one. We got Calais Campbell over at Arizona. That guy's good, man. 6'8", 282 pounds. I mean, every team needs a defensive end like that. But, you know, it's I think he stays in Arizona. Weather's nice. Teams traditionally don't pay a ton of money for defensive ends. I mean, unless it's somebody like Jason Pierre-Paul pre-injury. So I don't see that one. Again, I think that's another guy you could get for pretty cheap. You've got a New England guy. And New England is like this. Hey, you want to go to free agency? See ya. Wouldn't want to be you. So Dante Hightower, a linebacker for New England, they've already traded Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins, who were their starters. Dante Hightower was the only one they kept. So I think they're going to keep him just to keep some continuity. I know Belichick loves leadership. And so Dante Hightower could kind of be a fit as a Tom Brady on defense type guy for them. But you know Belichick, he has no loyalty. So they're probably going to sign him, but it won't be for huge, huge money. And if he wants to go and try and get more money, staying with New England. Martellus Bennett, you know, the tight end. And they really wanted him as an insurance policy for Gronk. But, again, you can find a tight end anywhere. Martellus Bennett's already on his 4th team. I don't know what kind of locker room guy he is. I know his brother's a nutcase over in Seattle with Seahawks. So I don't think he's going to get money from New England. I don't. So I guess the theme of what I'm getting at is, in this year's free agency, there's not going to be a ton of money. There's not going to be this big splash free agent where owners are flying helicopters over their houses and dropping bags of money. But yes, that has happened before. There is one that we haven't talked about that's right here in D.C., and that is DeSean Jackson. I think DeSean's done enough to say that he really doesn't want to be here. But I'm wondering, does he not want to be here? Or is it that he knows that they drafted Josh Dotson? And Josh Dotson's got to play, and he's got to play now. And Josh Johnson is 6'5 and 220 pounds, and DeSean Jackson is 5'11 and maybe 175 pounds. He's 30 years old, so for a receiver, that is ancient. And, you know, I mean, he just gets kind of lost on the field sometimes. He doesn't block very well. I don't know if he can be a number one threat, but he's going to want number one receiver money, and I just don't see it out there. Now, will he stay with the Redskins? Doubt it, because they also got Pierre Garçon, who's a free agent. So one of them has got to go. So I think they're going to stay with Pierre Garçon and go with Dotson. That means DeSean's up. But DeSean's already got a team, right? The Eagles would love to have him. You know, they'd love to have him. And, hey, who knows? Maybe the G-Men get him to replace Victor Cruz. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. Could you imagine DeSean Jackson lining up with Odell Beckham? That would be interesting, to say the least. So, hey, and then we got Terrell Pryor, Cleveland Browns receiver. That guy, he's lost so many games with Cleveland, I just don't know if anybody's going to pick him. So he might be in a tough spot. There are a couple other free agents out there. Mike Glennon's quarterback, he's out there. You've got LeGarrette Blount out there with New England. They'll probably let him go. You know how New England is. So we'll see. It'll be an interesting free agent period. So, hey, we got to get to Super Ref Craig Muckle. So we're going to shift gears right now and see if we can get Craig on the air and talk a little hoops. Enough with the football already. Super Referee Craig Muckle, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
There he is. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. Getting ready for another busy Saturday. which includes a little basketball around here, so that's not a bad thing.
A little basketball around here. I got to tell you, I'm looking again at this top 10 list, and I'm starting to attach myself to Eastern basketball. I'm starting to attach myself to ACC basketball. And I got to tell you, I think Carolina I think Carolina is going to be doing some magical things. So,
I didn't mean to cut you off there. They're looking good, actually. They had a big win this week, and I'm going to sit here and have a brain cramp on who they played. But they, had a nice, they have a nice win this week, and they also, beat a pretty darn good Virginia team, which has been struggling lately. But, I do think Carolina is well poised. In fact, Jay Bill has made an interesting observation on the game this week, and he was saying that it's interesting, as good as North Carolina is, they actually have not been in the top five, and why has that been the case? So I think that's given a lot of people an opportunity to sort of forget about them, thinking they're not that good, but they're really good. I mean,
you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up, because I kind of thought the same thing, and I think I know the answer. Now, you check me on this, because I'm a football guy. But the reason why Carolina wouldn't be in the top five is there's some people in the top five that shouldn't be in there. A, Gonzaga, really shouldn't be. They should be. UCLA, probably not. Arizona, probably not. All these West Coast teams, Craig, I got to tell you, I don't trust them. What do you think?
Well, I think ultimately the tournament will tell, but here's what I would say. I think Oregon in particular, and frankly UCLA, they played some teams from the East and have done very well. So I'm going to give them more than the benefit of the doubt. They've showed me enough where I think that they're going to be legit. And, and I think most of us would characterize legit as you get to the second weekend, if not the finals, Saturday or Sunday of the tournament. So if you get to the Sweet 16, or the Elite Eight, you're definitely, you're definitely a contender, in my view at least.
But let me give you some pushback there. Because when I look at Nova, right, like for me, here's a top five. Nova, Kansas. So Nova would be in the East, Kansas in the Midwest, Louisville in the Southeast, Carolina, and throw in a Kentucky. Like, to me, those are teams that are battle-tested, that can get through these survive and advance environments. I see an Oregon, Baylor, these West teams, it's just not going to be – it just can't grind enough like these Eastern and Southern teams can.
Well, I mean, you're right. Tempo has a lot to do with it in tournament time. You have a better opportunity, particularly on that first, after the, whether it's the first round or the second week between the, the first couple of rounds and then going into the Sweet 16 round, where you got 3 or 4 days to prepare for a team. Those are typically the times when coaches can really game plan for their particular opponent. And that's when you do see the game typically slow down. But again, the teams that want to create tempo can do it in a lot of ways. It's through pressing and that kind of stuff. And I do think Oregon in particular, maybe not so much UCLA because defensively are a little bit challenged, but I do think a team like Arizona, though, they have enough athletes to be able to dictate your tempo on there. Plus, and again, it is the great equalizer, and I hate to say it because I think the game has changed drastically since the three-point line has come into play. But the three-point line does balance, tip the scales a little bit, particularly for the sometimes lesser opponent. Because it only takes one hot day from three to beat somebody.
These West Coast teams, they're getting it done, right? They are actually, they fire up these threes left and right. But, I'm just going through Oregon's schedule here. I mean, I know it was back in November, but Oregon lost to Georgetown, 65-61. I mean, I know November was so last November, but I just don't see these West teams, you know, it's okay for them to beat up on each other. But when you got to get into a half-court game with Nova or Carolina in a gym that played in the South, I don't see them getting it done. And so
well,
what's happening is that they're clogging up all the slots right now, these West Coast teams.
Well, here's what I would say. At the end of the day, the rankings at this time of the year and before are really a conversation piece for talk show radio like we're doing today. Okay? And it's, the other thing of it is for, it's really for, ultimately, it's really to help seed the teams. I mean, this is just, you know, it, a lot of this is just opinions of people like you and me and, you know, other folks who think they know something about basketball, you know, voting these teams in. So at the end of the day, that's why they play, that's why we all play the games, to decide it on the court. And I do think the tournament will be the deciding factor. Here's the other thing I would say, kind of going to your point of skepticism. If we see a lot of these West Coast teams get knocked out, I guarantee you next year they will be hard pressed to find their way into the top five. And I think that would make someone like you feel better. But yeah,
yes,
I try not to. I try to be more objective because I do think, you know, we're biased on the East Coast because, hey, you know, a lot of these teams play when, you know, we can't stay up and see them all the time. I mean, so.
Well, that's true.
You know, the only way you get to see them, or the only way you get to know about them, is by watching them play, and you can make your own determination. And so I have been trying to make a more of a point myself personally to see some of these teams on the West because I don't want to be surprised come tournament time.
Well, yeah. I mean, like for example, you know, I mean, I've been picking on Gonzaga for a while. And when I look at the remaining schedule for them, it's pretty light. I mean, it's
a light.
They're at San Diego. You know, they got BYU. You know, I mean, in other words, when they come up against, heck, they could play Siena in the 1-16 game and be shocked, like, whoa, this is real defense. This is real. Like, these guys follow you hard. Right?
Well,
so, I mean, are they going to be ready for this sort of thing?
They've been determined enough times where I think Mark Few will have them prepared. Now, you know, you're a coach. The hardest thing is to get your kids to take teams that they either don't know seriously or take lesser opponents seriously. And I will say this. Gonzaga beat somebody by 50 points, virtually 50 points this week in their conference. That shows me at least that, you know, they're not taking people lightly because that was a game they could have mailed in and maybe won by 15, 10 points. And their coach will go, but when you beat a conference foe by 50 points, that's pretty much saying you're coming out, handling your business, and let's move on. And so if they're focused right now on the task at hand, they can do some damage, and this could be Few's best team that he's ever had. You don't go undefeated by luck, typically, and I don't think this is luck. So I do think you will see them. I will tell you right now, they will make the Elite Eight. I'll wait to see what the final
four
looks
like. Let me write that down right now. Super referee Greg Muckle said on this show, Gonzaga makes the Elite Eight. Wow, I may make that part of my prediction segment. Hey, let me step away from the top 10 for a minute and pick your brain on local basketball, starting with Fear the Turtle. Are they sliding back a little bit? I watched some Big Ten basketball during the week this week. It seems like they're kind of sliding back, not the women's team. I mean, they look great.
Well,
but, yeah,
well,
Mello, Tremble, Carmelo, whatever his name is, they're sliding back a little bit.
Well, you know, I think what they're finding is, you know, they lost a tough game at Wisconsin. No shame in that at all. I think the big surprise to your point is them losing.
Is there shame in that? Hold on. Is there shame in that?
No.
They don't have any Big Ten.
No.
Wait, there's no Big Ten. Are there Big Ten in the top 25?
Oh, Wisconsin
is
in the top 25.
Is there one Big Ten school in the top 25?
There's two. Maryland, well, before this week, Maryland and Wisconsin.
So it's a weak conference?
I think that's actually...
So it's a weak conference?
Well, I mean, look, the conference could be weak nationally, but it could be competitive amongst themselves. And here's the thing I would tell you. Richard Pitino coaches Minnesota, and I've actually seen Minnesota play a little bit. Now, they don't have all the athletes, but it's younger Pitino, yes. And
okay.
that was a nice win for them to come down here to Xfinity and win that game. I mean, and
yeah,
actually the kind of and to kind of put it on Maryland, because that was actually Maryland's the greatest margin of defeat Maryland suffered in a at home like that against I think a ranked opponent or something like that. So I thought that was
interesting. So Maryland's
going to make the tournament.
They'll make the tournament. Will they
make
any moves?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, make
they should get they should get to the Sweet 16. You know, I think they're going to need to play at a high level to go further than that. But you know, Turgeon's a good coach. Melo Trimble's clearly the best player, and if he's playing well, he can carry him a little bit. So you know, I would fear the Turtle.
Wow,
you know,
that's good to know.
Yeah,
what about some of these other ones?
I was there.
What about I was watching the news, and actually the George Mason, George Washington game got a bunch of press, not really sure why. I didn't think either of them were any good.
Well,
so what are these two teams finishing out the year and limping into the end of the year?
No. Let me say this, as an Atlantic 10 follower, because my 23-5 Dayton Flyers, who won last night in overtime.
Yeah, they actually
see,
got
my
some
son
votes,
and I,
too, by the way. I was going to mention that. They got some votes for the top 25.
Well, they should. So they won like six in a row. But back to your question. So last year, my son and I went over to the Patriots Center to see George Mason, and we hammered him, frankly. But they had a really good – we beat them by like 30 points. But they did have a really good point guard, freshman. I'm forgetting his name. But this year, they're like way over 500. They were pumping that game largely because George Mason and George Washington, for obvious reasons, is a rivalry, same conference. And I do think this is a great opportunity for George Mason to kind of puff his chest out a little bit. So they play tomorrow, I think, down at the Smith Center. And so that should probably be a pretty rowdy game, if not entertaining and highly competitive. So
yeah,
I don't know if George Mason
got so much press.
Yeah,
I
don't think George
so
Mason
will
make the tournament. Yeah, they're not going to make the tournament, frankly, because it'll be Dayton, VCU, and Rhode Island probably making it from the A-10, but they're going to definitely go to the NIT. And
by the
way,
Production assistant just slipped me a note. There are three teams in the Big Ten in the top 25. Purdue, who beat Penn State this week. We forgot
yeah,
Purdue.
Yeah,
they're forgetful.
They do have a great player in Caleb Swanigan, who I would love to see get on my knit because he's a double-double machine. I do love Caleb Swanigan. I saw him last year. I'm like, this guy can freaking play.
Saw him the other night against Penn State. He's a man. I'm telling you, he's really good, and he gets near the basket. Yeah, he's good.
No question.
Tell me real quick.
We got
just a few more minutes. Tell me real quick about anything going on in the NBA that's attractive to you. I know there was a big trade. I don't know anything about this trade. What's going on in NBA? And that NBA All-Star game was horrible, by the way. How can we improve that?
I used to think the NBA All-Star game was my favorite All-Star game, but I'm going back to actually the baseball All-Star game because, you know, I am a defensive aficionado. And so just to effectively have the guys inbound the ball and say, hey, go down and slam dunk or, you know, do your best improvisational play until the fourth quarter, I'm not really having that. You know, I don't know what we can do there. We got to figure that out. But the interesting thing about, you know, the DeMarcus Cousin move is interesting. Now, they obviously lost by 30 the first game after the All-Star break with both AD and Cousins. But it'll be interesting to see what they probably do in the offseason to try to get some pieces around them. I mean, clearly they're both elite players, and they both had a good game on Thursday. So it's conceivable that they they will continue to produce, but you know, ultimately they're going to need some other pieces around them to make them a viable contender in a very loaded Western Conference. They're frankly in the wrong conference, because I think if they were in the East, they frankly would be better than my Knicks, which probably ain't saying a whole lot. But
I didn't know you were a Knicks fan.
Oh, I am. But let me. I am too.
Greg,
right
they're
now,
awful.
I do
Greg,
like,
they're awful. They got former players stalking owners. They're terrible.
We can talk about that on another show for a whole show if you wanted to, because we're an absolute mess. But let me give some props though to the local team, the Washington Wizards. I got it, you know, after a very slow start, and you know I give props begrudgingly to Washington teams around here. But I will have John Wall, Bradley Beal and company, and I think they just picked up Bogdanovich from the Nets, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty nice move, and Scotty Brooks has got him going. So, Cleveland is the elite team. I don't think they're ready to break in to get to the Eastern Conference Finals yet. They're tough out.
Well, you know, and I did a show a couple weeks ago talking about, you know, D.C. sports and how, you know, just can't quite get over the hump. You know, they did lose to the Sixers last night. The Ben Simmons-less Sixers, Beal had 40, and they still lost. It's just
not a good.
I don't trust them. I got to tell you, I don't trust them. And especially as young as they are. Now you're right; they did get Bogdanovich and this guy Chris McCullough. Never heard of him. Not really sure why they did that. I wanted them to kind of keep the team intact. Thought the chemistry was right. But I don't trust this Kelly Oubre young. I mean, he's a boys club player, it looks like to me. I just don't trust them. They got to come up against grown men like LeBron and the like. Now, they did a good job against them, but I'm more worried about the Celtics and the Toronto team and the Raptors. I'm more worried about that. So I don't know, but good for you for giving them props. I'm not quite there yet, but we'll see what happens in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean,
hey Craig,
Craig
Muffin, where can we boo you this week?
Well, today I have a game up in Potomac at St. Andrew's Episcopal School, and we're going to play off game up there at 6:00, and then on Tuesday I'm up at River Hill High School in Howard County to do another Maryland State playoff game up there at 6:00. So that's where I can be cheered on for the great work that I do, which I know you'll never do.
Now let me ask you, do you wear the stripe or do you have like the gray? I like that gray, I think, that the NBA wears.
Yeah.
But do you wear the black and white stripe?
When I was working Maryland JUCO for 15 years, I did wear the gray black. I love the gray black shirts. They do make
–
I'm a thinner guy anyway, but they fit great. They're lightweight, and they're comfortable. But in the other leagues, it's all the traditional white-black.
And I hope you're wearing Adidas shoes.
Actually, I wear Nike IDs.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that. And that's the end of your interview segment. So, hey, Super Referee Craig Muckle, always a pleasure to have that guy in. Love him to death. Craig, thanks so much for coming on. We'll see you again next week. I tell you, it's been we've been rolling here. What a show. There's tons of information all at one time. So, hey, the two-minute warning is pretty simple here. It's all about time and timing. And you just never know what's right around the other corner. So keep looking. Keep looking around the corner. Look up, look down, look east, look west, because you never know when that next great opportunity. It's all about timing. It's just got to time it up right. Ask Boogie Cousins. Ask Kirk Cousins. It's all about timing. So, hey, this week, another busy week, please. We are still looking for Twitter followers. Still looking for Twitter followers. So we need that at Extra Points LLC. I think I'm going to start putting my predictions up on Twitter. And by the way, speaking of predictions, not a very good week last week. So overall records 11-12. So this week we're going to go with North Carolina over Pittsburgh in basketball. I think the Tar Heels are primed and you're starting to hear it here first that maybe you're national champion. I got Nova over Creighton. I got Nashville beating our Cats. The only reason I'm going against the Cats is because it's in Nashville, and I read something that they'd like never lose at home or something like that. So I don't really know a whole lot. I just am guessing. And how about this? Spring training. Guess who plays today? The Nats play the Mets. Give me the Nats. That's right, Kingsley from New York. Give me the Nats over the Mets. You got it. And then I've got the Cavaliers beating the Bulls tonight. Love you, Dwayne Wade, but LeBron's better than Dwayne Wade, so I'll take Cleveland in that one. As I said, always looking for Twitter followers at Extra Points LLC. Also, always looking for sponsors. So if you are interested in sponsoring our show, or you know a business who's interested in sponsoring our show, just send me an email at coach, C-O-A-C-H, at extrapointsllc.com. That's coach at extrapointsllc.com. Please take time to visit our website, www.extrapointsllc.com, extra points with an S, LLC.com. Make sure you get to us and say hello to us. And then, of course, if you're looking for a speaker, talk out at a nonprofit, brand new nonprofit called Simple, LaBelle Hillgrove, who used to play for me with the DC Divas. LaBelle is doing a great job mentoring young people. So she came, had me come out, and not only did I speak to the kids, but I read from the book. Yep, Extra Points, The Life of My Story, still on sale. Still on sale for $19.99. That's right. Go to the website to order your copy today, extrapointsllc.com. Great book. There is a whole chapter in there about my time at the University of Pittsburgh, bird's eye view at Division I football, and probably why I know too much football now. And then there's another chapter called Reaching Across Lane, where I talk about turning around a team that had lost 19 games in a row and being a coin toss away from the playoffs. So it's a great book. It's an easy read, 150, 160 pages. It's an easy read. So, okay, next week we're going to continue our conversation around some March Madness, as we will be in March. And so we'll be following that closely. We'll bring back Super Referee Craig Muffel. We're loving that segment. We'll also be able to finally close out the saga that is the Redskins franchise tag and Kirk Daniel Cousins. So, hey, if you have an idea for a show, you could also email that to me at coach at extrapointsllc.com, C-O-A-C-H at extrapointsllc.com. If you have an event and you want us to do the show from your event, we'd love to do that. So I know I was talking to a barber the other day. He said, hey, come in and do the show at our shop. We're looking at all things in 2017. Want to be green in 2017. So, hey, without further ado, as always, I hope everyone knows this. It's very simple. The extra point, it's up, and it's always good.